to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. Tonight we have in the podcast booth, Path Crew Numero Dos. Path Crew number two is joining me here at Hotel Candelaria, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with Dean.
I'm Dean Higo from Cupertino, California.
I'm Andrew Phillips from Selins Grove, Pennsylvania.
I'm Sam Higa from Cupertino, California.
And I'm Devin Funk from DeForest, Wisconsin.
Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. So we have some veterans and we have some newbies. And I'm really curious. This is our first full day on site. Yesterday you got all trained up by your crew leader, Andrew, and your site leader, Jesse. And I'm curious how it went today. Let's start with you, Devin. You're a newbie here. What Yes. was your first impressions this morning when you got out of the micro bus and walked your way up the hill a little bit and into the girls' home?
Well, it was interesting because I wasn't sure the bus was going to make it up the hill. We had to back up quite a ways and finally made it up the hill. And so it was a pretty short jaunt after that. But you might say it all went downhill after that.
And you did. Did you have to make a couple runs at it? Did you?
The van did, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's an incredibly steep. It's not a hill. It's a mountain. And it's hard to describe to people how steep this is. How would you describe it to people who've never been from that hairpin turn up to where the girls' home is, especially?
Yeah, you're pretty much going up the side of the mountain. And it's a good 45-degree angle almost. It's pretty steep.
And there's the road takes some mild switchbacks.
Yeah, a few, yes.
But they were really pouring out. The micro buses are all diesel, and so there's pretty pronounced cloud of black smoke behind each one today.
I was worried. I'm a big guy, so I was sitting in the back seat. I thought maybe I was the problem, but I need to sit in the front seat maybe next time.
So after your adventure getting up the hill, what was your first impressions on the work site, Devin?
Well, we had a good start yesterday on it, and so it was just kind of a continuation after that. But I wasn't expecting to carry 40 bags of cement all the way from the shed, all the way down the steps in there. But I learned a new technique of carrying it on my back and my neck, and I feel a little bit of it yet today, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah. First thing, like drop your stuff, grab a sack of cement. Mm-hmm. How much did those weigh?
40 pounds. But he was counting.
I was going to say, I would have guessed weighed more, but that's all right.
Aren't they 100 pounds?
I thought they were 40.
I think they're 100 pounds.
I was going to say, I think they're more than 40. I've carried 50-pound bags before, and they
maybe
don't seem
they're, maybe it's metric. What would that be? 40?
40 would be close to 100 pounds if it was kilos.
Yeah.
That might be what it is.
Yeah, they're pretty heavy. And, of course, we thought that, because we asked, is everything ready for first thing in the morning before we left yesterday? It's all the concrete, all the materials. And they pointed to a big tarp that said, yep, the concrete's under that. The sacks of concrete are under that, and we're ready to go. And so we arrive and I don't know, some recalculation happened. And so Sam, how was that for you, carrying the sacks of cement down?
Oh, I didn't carry them. I just watched.
Yeah. So that was a pretty good morning for you then, at least the first half hour or so. Is that about how long you guys spent?
20, 30 minutes, somewhere.
Probably about that,
yeah. And so then what happened? What was your next impression, Devin, after that initial start?
Well, then it's mixing. And they were doing the other pavement continuation of the sport court. And so that was one big pile, and a few of us were working on that. And then the rest of us kind of helped mix the cement that was going to be used for the path, which is what I worked on today. So,
So describe this path for people who've not been there and maybe you've never even seen this kind of a path before.
Yeah, it's really a neat path. It's stone mixed in with the concrete mortar, and the stones are placed down inside the mortar, and it's going to go down the hill behind the, I guess it connects off the sport court, and then it kind of winds down through the big tall pine trees, I think they are, mm-hmm. and it's going to look nice. We made a nice bit of progress today, and it's coming together real nice. It's neat. It's like putting a little puzzle together, only a lot more work.
Yeah, these are super thin, maybe, what would they be? Maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches thick?
Yeah, they come in different sizes. So, yeah, there's some of it that's maybe about a full inch or an inch and a quarter, maybe. And then a few pieces are a little thinner. So but we have to make those adjustments as we're placing them in the mortar. So.
But they're fairly large. I would say, what, 14, 18 inches sometimes?
Well, you kind of fit them together to make it work. So you use a few large ones where you can, and then you kind of fill in the gaps with smaller pieces, and sometimes you have to break them off to make them fit the spot you want. But
this is going down behind the new girls' home, and it's going to connect several games, a couple of tree houses, and come back. And I think it's about, how far is it, Andrew? Do you
know? At least 100 meters. Yeah, at least, like, because it circles around a few times, so probably maybe 100 to 120 meters.
Right, and it's about 1 meter wide, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Every meter wide.
They're very specific. It's exactly a meter wide.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm not accustomed to speaking in metric. Meters and centimeters is how they say it. And so I spent the past couple of days buying supplies, and I'm trying to recalculate in my head liters versus gallons and meters versus versus feet or yards. So all in all, successful day for you, Devin, for first day.
Yeah. It was a good day. My back's a little sore because we're doing a lot of bending and carrying heavy buckets of cement to the spots and doing a lot of pounding of the rocks down, but it was a good day.
Sam, what was your job this morning?
I mostly mixed cement today.
Now, you've had some experience with that, have you not? Did it bring back some memories for you?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because I was kind of younger and it was a lot harder back then.
Yeah, feeling tough now, huh?
A little bit.
A little bit. So, Sam, tell me, you know, you've been here before. When's the last time you were here?
Last year.
Yeah. And you worked on this girl's home.
Yeah.
Tell me your first impression when you walked in yesterday for the first time after a year, now seeing the girl's home completed.
Last year I walked in, it was just a big, gray building. But when I walked in yesterday, it was a pink castle. Yeah, a lot has changed.
What were some of the features of the castle that stood out in your mind? What surprised you?
The giant bronze doors and the watchtowers on top.
Yeah, describe those, the watchtowers.
They're like a blue cone.
Yeah, and it's got the little ball at the top. And I understand they're going to put some flags up there. Looks like a castle for princess. I mean, they've been talking about this for several years. This is going to be a princess castle, and everything else that you look at is this pretty square concrete block building. And this thing has got these watchtowers, these cones going up to the sky, pretty brilliantly colored. What other things come to mind when you think about walking in there yesterday?
Kind of reminds me of Disneyland.
Yeah, right? Some pictures of the princesses. They've got not really stained glass, but I guess they're stickers, but they're huge stickers that go over the windows. How about you, Dean? You were here last year, and what was your impression?
Well, last year when they said it was going to be a girl's castle, I was thinking, okay, you paint it purple or pink or whatever, and yeah, maybe it'll kind of look like a castle, but I was like just blown away at all the attention to detail. I mean, it looks like they spared no detail to making it look like a princess's castle. I mean, just looking at the iron fences and some of the material they used to decorate those fences, and like you said, we were talking about how it kind of looked like a molding around the roof line there. I mean, it was way beyond what I was expecting to see, both inside and out. And yeah, it was over the top, really.
Let's go back to yesterday, because we had a bit of a celebration. Describe what they had planned for us and your feelings as you were watching the festivities.
It's just really nice to see that these orphan children get a chance to do something somewhat extravagant and be the center of attention and actually feel some sense of being looked upon in an honorable way. And yeah, it was really neat to see that. And I just think of, you know, all the hearts of those who are serving to make that happen. And I'm also kind of almost feel a little bit embarrassed how we're treated so well when we come to serve them, and we sort of are treated like just really welcome guests with so much honor, I guess. And it's just I don't feel like we deserve that, but anyway, it's really nice. And the people of Guatemala are just so awesome.
They had it decorated with some balloons and streamers and things like that. And then there was a few of the princesses, the girls who lived there, and then a few came later. Describe them and your reaction to their performance.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, I guess I can't, for lack of a better word, I mean, very cute, very fun to watch them do that. And it was just really great how that whole thing was put together with their outfits, with the whole building, with the music. And I hope that they got as much enjoyment out of it as we did. It's just hard to tell from some of their expressions, but you could tell that some of them were really eating it up, so that was good.
Last summer, several people from this week, and some from your church especially, Dean, brought some princess costumes with the goal that each girl who lives there, who arrives there, will have a princess costume laying on her bed with her name on it, and that these girls who are disadvantaged, many of them are pulled by the court systems from their homes for abuse. Some of them are true orphans, are going to come and live in this orphanage. And when I think of an orphanage, I think of Orphan Annie. You know, I think of It's a Hard Knock Life, and this could not be more opposite from that. I would love to live in this place. I mean, it's gorgeous. But the girls were all dressed up in their costumes. They did a little dance for us. Andrew, this was your first time at this site. You were here last year working with us at a different site. What was your impression? You had heard a little bit about the girls' home. Maybe you did a little reading before you came, but what was your impressions walking in yesterday?
I was just absolutely overwhelmed. It was just amazing because I saw some of the pictures from before of how it was, you know, in the process, and definitely didn't look like it was going to turn out like a castle, but it was absolutely amazing. It just, it was kind of funny because they were saying that the boys' homes then looked kind of shoddy in comparison, and it's true. It was just absolutely incredible that this all came together, and pretty quickly too. I mean, the pictures I had seen were from last year, and it wasn't even close. So,
Yeah, it's hard to describe the tile floors and the freshly painted everything, both inside and out, and it smells fresh and new and you know, just the furthest thing that you can imagine from an orphanage. So let's go back to the work site. Andrew, what were your impressions of did all of you lay stone today? Was that that was your primary goal, or did some of you were mixing concrete and
Yeah, Devin and I were laying the stone, and Sam and Dean then were mixing the concrete. So yeah, it was a big project, especially, you know, right from the get-go, you know, grab this bag of cement, carry it down and mix it and everything. But it was really nice. I mean, the people we were working with were just really friendly, and it was nice to get done. We got a lot done today, and it was felt enough like work to be satisfying, but not so much that you wouldn't want to do it again. So,
now, Andrew, you speak Spanish pretty well. Did you have some conversation with some of the Guatemalan workers that we've hired to help us do it right?
Yeah. I did have some good conversations. I find it's harder because I haven't really spoken Spanish as much recently. It's kind of harder to speak it. I can generally understand what they're saying, and then, you know, speak in simple, broken Spanish. But I was joking a lot with Luis, who was working with us, and the whole time we were just joking back and forth, and that was a lot of fun. And they're just all were just really fun to be around, you know, just being friendly. And we did have some good conversation, but mostly just kind of lighthearted kind of stuff or giving directions.
Yeah. I'm always curious why people come to Guatemala, why they come on this kind of a mission. Andrew, you came for a week last year, and promptly when you got home sent me an email and said, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. If you're doing this again next summer, I want to come for all 5 weeks. And that was a little unexpected. That was a year ago. A lot can change after you come home, you get back into school, priorities change, you're in college, and so I don't know about you, but my college years, I changed majors several times. My life changed a lot within a year. Why did you come back this year?
Well, I mean, when I came last time, it was just like, it just felt all of a sudden like, oh, this is right, like this is what I want to be doing. It was kind of like a fluke that I even ended up because here because a woman in my church had been going, and it was past all the deadlines, which I know you love, but it was after all that, and they said they still needed people, and so I said, yeah, sure, I'll go to Guatemala, like, you know, who wouldn't want to do that? And it just, like, just immediately from the first day and just all week, it was just so powerful. It just felt like this is what I really want to be doing. So, and kind of shifted my focus to kind of directed me in the aim of pursuing humanitarian work for my life. So that's kind of pretty big impact for just 1 week. But so even though a lot has changed in the last year, wanting to come here definitely didn't.
Dean, you guys have been here how many years now?
I think this is my fifth year. I'm not sure. My wife and my daughter have been here more. But I didn't want to come this year. I fought it, but I did what Sean says, pray about it. And, of course, when you do that, then it's all over. So I'm just being obedient. But I always, you know, every time I get here, you know, I realize why I'm supposed to be here. And it's only a week out of the year. I just can't believe I make such a fuss about it. And it's just that when you're deciding to go, you're in a different, your perspective is different, at least mine is, and I don't have the right perspective, or at least I'm not taking a perspective that I should be in, that is looking at things from a more godly point of view than just living in my own little world. So I'm just back here because I kind of was forced.
That's honest.
And but again, I always feel good after I'm here. So it's important.
That struggle is something that I think a lot of people who are listening to this would appreciate, because I'm sure many people have thought about coming and made the other choice. What would be your strongest argument for wanting to come, other than it feels good once you're here? How would you speak to them who maybe are fearful of the safety or concerned, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, these are things that we've heard as leaders, like, what could I possibly do? I mean, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a mason, you know. How would you respond as someone who has struggled with that same question, like, why should I go when maybe I can help in other ways? How would you answer that question?
We as Americans, and I guess most people, we have such a narrow perspective of, I think, what God wants us to see, especially when we're busy in our jobs. And so we have to really force ourselves to step outside and unplug and take another perspective and see things from a broader perspective, have a more worldly look at what our lives are supposed to be like, what God wants our lives to be like, and see more of the world outside of our own little box that we live in. So I think that's really important. It's hard to imagine it when you're in that box. So you really have to make an effort to get out of that box and see it. And safety and what you're going to do, those things to me are not even important issues. It's what's important is being able to see how God is working, not just here in Guatemala, but in our lives and in the hearts of other people too.
Sam, maybe you were forced to come as your father was, but I'm going to ask you too. Why did you come back this year?
Well, since my parents go, I usually go. But, it's actually a really fun experience for me, so.
Yeah, from your perspective, so how old are you, Sam?
14.
14, and you've been here many years. Describe your relationship with the kids, because you don't speak Spanish fluently, do you?
No.
No. So explain how you relate to them, because I see you hanging out with them and communicating, and explain that perspective for someone who's never been here.
Well, the kids usually just run up to you and want to play with you, so they want to hold your hand and walk with you to places and stuff.
And playing games and stuff, that all seems to just be natural.
Yeah.
It's not too forced. Devin, this is your first year, right? Mm-hmm. Why did you come this year?
Well, my wife and daughter came last year, and they talked a lot about it, and it meant a lot to them. I think it's the kids probably as much as why I wanted to come. That probably impressed both Susan and Maggie the most, and I just wanted to feel that. I missed it last year, I guess, because I didn't come. Maggie wanted to come again, and we felt it was probably best for one of us to come along with her. And so since Susan went last year and experienced it, she thought it'd be a good thing for me. And so I agreed. I struggled a little bit whether I wanted to come or not. But
tell me about that struggle. What were some of the doubts in your mind?
Maybe it's a little on my selfish side, but I mean, in June, I usually take vacation.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of my guy trip.
Right.
I live with my wife and my daughter, so.
Who you love very much.
I do. But I like to have my guy time. And so usually in June I take a fishing trip or something, and I spend a week with some of my guy friends. So this year I'm sacrificing that. So mm-hmm. they're off in Canada fishing, and I'm down here in Guatemala serving the Lord.
Yes.
It's great. So.
But with a bunch of guys, I must point out.
It is.
I mean, not the same guys, but...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Describe a little bit the experience, because I know sometimes it's hard. I had a friend in college who went to Africa and came back, and you know, everything for 3 months, Africa this and Africa that and Africa this and Africa that. And describe that experience from the receiving end of family members who've gone on this experience and coming back, what that return trip was like for them.
Yeah, they did a little of the same thing. It was Guatemala this, Guatemala that for quite a while. But the pictures is what really sold me. Wow. The photographs, just you could just feel the love. Maybe is a cliche, but you know, seeing the photographs of the kids and the people and the friendship and the, just the camaraderie, it just seemed like an interesting thing to try, and so that's why I'm here.
And do you feel like those pictures delivered on what they were selling in terms of, like, have you felt that? It's only been a day.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel it. I had a really good day yesterday seeing the kids and having them just climb all over me and sitting on my lap and asking me questions. And I really enjoyed one of them actually tried to pronounce my name, which is not an easy name to pronounce. It's not difficult, but it's not the easiest name to pronounce. He did an excellent job of it, and I was impressed with that because he was trying to learn my name, you know. So
yeah, it's so important to him.
It is. So, and then he grabbed my phone and wanted to take lots of pictures. So
yeah,
but it was fun, you know, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. Any final words you'd like to share with family, friends, supporters who may be listening about your experience of the week, or any final thoughts?
All I can really say is, like, again, this is just exactly what everything that you could think it is and more, that it was just so much, even in just 2 days. Like you said, every day feels like a week, but because just so much happens. But it's just incredible being here and getting to know the people and just being with these people in a different culture and making that connection. And it's really powerful stuff.
Great. Well, in case I don't have a chance to see you all as a group or even individually, because I'm running crazy, you're running crazy, on behalf of Dom Reese and myself, I wanted to thank you for making that choice to come, for choosing to step forward in faith into a uncomfortable situation for the sake of someone else over your own plans and desires and that. And thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala. And thanks for sharing your stories in the podcast.
Thank you for helping make that opportunity available to us. It's an honor to serve alongside you, Sean.
Oh. Yes, and I think you do an excellent job of making everything safe. And I don't have a feeling at all that we're in jeopardy or anything of that nature. You've done an excellent job of providing this environment so that we don't feel that way.
Oh, praise God. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no en medio de mente.